Your speaker is Claude Farr.
There are two great lessons from leaven that Jesus taught in the book of Matthew. And I wanted to look at both of those. One of them is in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. It's a very familiar parable that Jesus taught. The other one, which we'll look at secondly, is Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. And another lesson that Jesus taught using leaven or yeast. And that passage probably is not quite as familiar as the first one. Let me talk about evangelism to start with. Let me read Matthew 13, verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Matthew 13, Jesus gives a series of parables about the kingdom. And this is one of them. And he compares the kingdom of heaven to leaven or yeast. Now, we understand how yeast or leaven works. You have the dough. Then you take the yeast or the leaven and you work it in. And then it affects the entire lump of dough and it rises. And of course, I think most of you realize that I'm not talking from personal experience. I've just done my research. I haven't done a lot of that mixing of yeast into the dough. But that's kind of the basic concept. Jesus uses this to illustrate the effect of the kingdom in the world. And what he's saying is that the kingdom will spread throughout the world, affect the world like yeast does the dough, change the world. And so that's the reason I look at this and talk about evangelism, even though the word evangelism is not used in the parable. But it has to do with the spreading of the message of Christianity. And Jesus is just talking about how Christianity, how the gospel, the kingdom, will spread throughout, will permeate the entire earth and affect this world that we live in. And if we look at Christianity in the first century, we can kind of see how this works. In the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 6, some of the people who were not Christians were complaining that the teachers, Paul had and other teachers, had come to their city. And their complaint was, "These who have turned the world upside down have come hither also." And so, just from that one passage in the book of Acts, you can tell that just a few years after the beginning of the preaching of the gospel, the estimation of the effect was that they had turned the world upside down with their message. And we know from history that that's what happened. That the gospel took that pagan Roman world and turned it around. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this parable. And when we look in the book of Acts and see the apostles and the others and what they did, we can understand why. And I want to just read a few passages from Acts that kind of illustrates the way they work. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. When Peter and John are being urged not to preach anymore in the name of Christ in the city of Jerusalem, verse 19 says this: "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." Of course, it's not hard for us to read and understand that. Just saying that the Sanhedrin, you're standing here, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish rulers, and you're saying to us, don't preach in this name. But God has said for us to preach in this name. Who do you think we ought to follow? And I think that's very applicable to us in our world today. You know, society, to proselyte, is not in society. You're not supposed to talk in certain circles about religion. Remember, a good many years ago, I was talking to a man who was not a member of the church, but we were in a religious discussion, and he made a statement that's kind of always stuck with me, and he says, "I don't usually fly my colors." And he was just saying that he didn't usually try to tell people about his religion. But the fact of the matter is, we need to fly our colors. We need to let people know where we stand religiously. It's not politically correct to criticize another person's religion. It's not politically correct. It's not the tolerant thing to do to say that someone else is wrong and try to persuade them to turn to Christianity. But the apostles are saying here, whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Should we listen to the pluralistic society that we live in and be tolerant? Or should we be like the first century Christians and be adamant about our beliefs and about the spreading of the message of Christianity? Then he says in the next verse, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And I don't know how you understand that, but I understand that Peter and John are saying, you know, we're just busting with it. We've seen this. We've heard the Lord. We're just filled with this message. And we just can't stop it. And that's the way all Christians ought to feel about the message of Christianity. You know, it seems to be kind of a fact. It's good and then it's bad. Good at first, because usually, or very frequently, when people first, as adults at least, learn the gospel and become Christians, they're very and they tell people, they're just busting with the message. But unfortunately, as years go by, and I think many of us can speak from experience of this, as years go by, the ardor, the flame kind of cools a little bit. But we shouldn't let that happen. And so what has happened in here, Peter and John are saying, you know, we've seen this. We've heard this. We've got to tell it. And we should feel the truths of Christianity so much in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, that we would be just compelled to tell other people about it. The book of Ecclesiastes says that there's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak, and that's true. If you don't like one of the ladies' hairdo or the dress they're wearing, that's the time to keep silent. There are some times that you should keep silent. But in religion, no. Be instant, the Apostle Paul wrote, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There's not a season when, with regard to the gospel message, we ought to be silent. There are some things that we should be quiet about, but not the gospel message. And this is what is being said here. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Verse 29 of the same chapter. Peter and John went back to their company, and you know, this is a problem when they're being severely warned by the authorities not to speak in the name of Jesus. And they prayed to God about it. And I've always found their prayer very interesting, because look at verse 29, what their prayer was. And now, Lord, after they had stated the fact how Jesus had been crucified, and they're now persecuting us, and then they say, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They didn't pray, Lord, let the persecution ease up a little bit. They prayed that in spite of whatever they had to suffer, in spite of the threatenings, their prayer was that we might be able to continue, that we might have the boldness to continue to speak the word. Apostle Paul, when he wrote the church at Thessalonica in chapter 2 and verse 2, reminds them that when he had come there, he came from Philippi, where they had suffered, been mistreated greatly. But in spite of that, he said, we came and we spoke the message boldly. And Paul is just saying, as I went from city to city, when they tried to stone me in one city or they tried to put me into jail in another city, in Philippi, of course, he had been illegally beaten with stripes. But when he came to the next city, his ardor had not cooled at all. He came and boldly in Thessalonica, he spoke the message. Chapter 5 of Acts, verse 28. The authorities are complaining about the apostles and they're continuing to preach. And here's what they say. Did not we strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now note that. You have filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. Now, not everybody in Jerusalem was converted. The fact of the matter, the majority were not converted. It was only a minority in the city of Jerusalem that actually became Christian, so far as we can tell from reading the record at least. But in spite of that, the city was filled with the doctrine. I would dare say you'd probably be hard-pressed in that day and time in the city of Jerusalem to find anybody that didn't know about Christianity. They preached the message. And even the authorities that were opposing them are saying in this verse, they have filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Stephen was stoned, that's in chapter 7. great persecution against the church. Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul, he's leading the persecution. But verse 4 says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You can just see the leaven of the kingdom as it takes over that world. The persecution in Jerusalem is so severe that they have to leave. But wherever they go, in spite of the fact that they were run out of one city, wherever they go, they went everywhere preaching the word. And the message of that continues right over into chapter 11, verse 19. It says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto Jews only. And then it begins a little new twist on it. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they had come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now these verses, of course, are talking about they went out and first just to the Jews, but then to the Grecians, and then, of course, you have the turnaround in Christianity going from the city of Antioch, mentioned here, in which the world receives the message, not just the Jewish world, but the Gentile world also. As I look at the book of Acts, the history of the church there, and as I look at the rest of the history of the church that we know from the epistles, and then from church history after the close of the New Testament, I certainly think that I can look back to that parable of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven hidden in a lump until the whole is leavened. That's what happened. But does that happen today? This is a great congregation, as far as I'm concerned. But I think we have a weak link. I don't believe that we're doing the local evangelistic work that we ought to be doing. But we would like to have the city filled with the message. So that's the first lesson from leaven. The second lesson is in Matthew chapter 16, and it's the reverse. Matthew 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. The disciples didn't know exactly what he meant. And so they started thinking, well, maybe this fellow didn't bring the bread with us. And then Jesus rebuked them for the lack of faith. He said, don't you remember the loaves and the 5,000? Don't you remember the 7 loaves and the 4,000? Don't you know I'm not talking about the leaven of bread? And then they understood what he meant. And verse 12 tells us how they finally understood it. Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. While it is very true, as Jesus taught in the other parable, and as it certainly ought to be, it is very true that the kingdom of God can work as leaven in the world to change it. The reverse is also true. The world can work as leaven in the church and change it. And that's what he's talking about here. The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This is the way it worked. Of course, we've already talked about the principle of leaven, but you had the Jewish religion. God-given. And then along with that was the doctrines of the Pharisees. And it kind of mixed into that. And you still had the Jewish religion when they got through. But it was different. The leaven had affected the whole lump. And so the Pharisee was, yes, that's the Jewish religion from the Old Testament, but yes, again, it's different. Something different. Or the Sadducees, the same way. They had their teachings and their doctrines and their beliefs. And you take the Old Testament, the pure Judaism of the Old Testament, you take that and you insert into that the theories and the practices and the doctrines of the Sadducees, and you mix that into the dough, and you still have the Jewish religion, but it's different. It's changed. That's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is warning the disciples to beware of the leaven, the doctrine of men, in this case, of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, we as the church are to be as leaven in the world as we spread the gospel message. But also, we need to remember that the world, the religious world about us, and the ungodly world about us, the immoral world about us, all of that can also work as leaven and affect the church adversely. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. I'd like to just give an example from our history. About a century or so ago, the church divided. The Lord's church divided over instruments of music. Instrumental music. Do you know how instrumental music came into the church? Well, it was leaven from the outside. That's just the facts of history. You see, the religious world about the church, they had begun some years before using instruments of music in their worship. Now, if you go far enough back in history, they didn't either. But they began using instruments of music. And then that leaven from the outside came in and leavened the church. And there, of course, as you know the history, was the great split over that, over the instrument of music. What I'm making is, the instrument was leaven inserted. It was copied. It came from the outside. It's not that anybody in the church sat down and studied the Bible and decided we ought to use instruments of music. No, they looked about them. And they saw the rest of the religious world using the instruments, and so they brought it in. And that's just facts of history. We need to look at the message of Jesus when he said, "Beware the leaven of the scribes, of the Pharisees, and of the Sadducees," and get the principle. And the principle is, be aware of any doctrine, any leavening coming from the outside into the church. Be aware of that. Now I want to talk a little bit about more current things, just a word or two. And that is contemporary worship. And I want to say at the outset that I'm not against changes. And I don't think everything that's contemporary is bad. I just want to kind of sound a warning about what I would call TV-style worship. It's one thing if we study our Bible and we see how we can improve our worship. And I think we can always improve. That's one thing. But it's another thing if we look about us in the outside religious world, and we copy that. We let that be leaven that comes in and affects the church. And so when we're looking, and we live in an age of change, and when we're looking at the various calls for changes, and I'm not against all change, let's make sure that we, as we look, that we're being very careful that what we're doing is we're following the teachings of God's Word. If we find it there, then that's what we want to follow. But let's don't let the outside religious world act as leaven on us and change the church. Now, that's happened in the past. Jesus was concerned about it in his day. If we're not careful, it can happen again. So I thought it was kind of neat that Jesus took the leaven and he made two lessons out of it, very opposite. One of them talking about how we can affect the world and should, and the other warning us about how the world might affect us, and we need to beware. Let's make sure that in our world, we're the leaven, that we're not the dough being leavened by the world.